Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Like we were talking on yesterday's class, this is how the saved people, justified folks, are supposed to live. Not just something you do once in a while or on Sunday for a few minutes. We're supposed to wake up and blink our eyes in faith. Huh? Amen. We're supposed to eat our cornflakes in faith. Yeah. Right? We're supposed to drive to school or work in faith. With some of the folks that's on the road, you better do it in faith. Right? Eat your lunch in faith. If you're taking an afternoon nap, do it in faith. When you lay your head on the pillow at night, go to sleep in faith. Everything we do, we're supposed to walk by faith, live by faith, receive by faith, overcome by faith, please God by faith. How does faith come? Comes not just, you know, mystically, mysteriously. Some people have it, some people don't. Nobody knows why. No. It operates by very definite principles and laws. It comes by hearing. And if you'll believe it and receive it, and then you begin to speak it and do it, it develops by doing, speaking faith, acting in faith, taking steps of faith. And you do this over a period of years. Hearing, speaking, doing, hearing, speaking, doing. You do this year after year. You become a completely different person.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One who is becoming progressively like Jesus, like the Master himself.
Amen.
Is this the most wonderful goal? Is this the most wonderful path? So like we got into on yesterday's class, faith must be developed in each area. And for a number of weeks now, we have been talking about faith for provision. Is it God's will for us to have everything we need materially, financially, physically? Well, we are stating unequivocally that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Did you hear there's a lot of alls in there?
Yes.
And it has to be that way for you to have faith. If you entertain the idea that there might be some that it's not His will for, then nobody can have faith for it. Because the enemy would come immediately and go, yeah, but you might not be one of the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No, it has to be that it's God's will for all. Or there's that room to question it. Yeah, but maybe not for you. No, God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
No, He's not. No, He's not. And He never changes.
Exactly.
And if it was ever His will for one person, it's always His will.
Amen.
Huh? For all persons.
Yes.
He's no respecter of persons, and He never changes. So say it out loud, abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
Say
it again, abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for me. How many times, weeks, seasons is it God's will for you to have low finances and lack and not being able to pay your bills and get behind? Never. Now, people will try to argue with that, but what are they basing their arguments on? They're basing their arguments on their experience of lack or somebody else's experience of lack. And by this wrong idea, well, if it was God's will, then everybody would have it. Not true. Not true. You could say if it was God's will for everybody to be saved, they'd be born again. Not true. Not true. We have a free will. We can believe him or doubt him. We can receive or we can reject. We can obey or we can rebel. But if you're smart, you will agree with your God. Is that right? And he said it's his will in many, many different ways and places in his word. And that's what we've been going through, looking at reason after reason, 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all. We started number one with the Lord is my shepherd. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. Number eight, the blessing of tithing. The Lord did not say, tithe and go broke. Number nine, honor and riches. What did he say? You honor me, I'll honor you. Number 10, wisdom and wealth. The Lord didn't say, be wise and go broke. Number 11, be imitators of God. God does not live broke.
No.
Huh? Number 12, the great I am. Number 13, the names of God. We saw Jehovah Jireh. We saw the Lord my shepherd. We saw El Shaddai. We never saw El Chipo. Number 14, the God of restoration. Oh, what a good God. You can have been so ignorant and so foolish and so hard-headed and lose everything you got. But if you'll come to God and fall down and repent and believe him, he will restore you. Oh, hallelujah. And take you to a place beyond where you were before you lost it all. We looked at provision in the wilderness. Number 16, the promised land. Number 17, the covenant blessing. Number 18, redeemed from the curse. We shouted about that for weeks. Number 19, the tabernacle showed God's will. Number 20, the wealth of the sinner. Now, we've been on this for a few weeks now. I think this is part three of number 20. But the good thing about Faith School, we can just keep going. If you have not heard all these previous ones, go to faithschool.org on the website, and they're all there. All these previous lessons are available to you at no charge, no cost. Take advantage of them, and so then you'll really be caught up with us because we're building one upon another. Look with me in Proverbs again, the 13th chapter, and we're continuing on our 20th reason, the wealth of the sinner. How do we know that this reveals God's will for us to have abundant provision? Well, glad you asked. Here we go. Proverbs 13 and 21. It says, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. The 22nd verse, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Did God make the wealth in the world just for the devil and his crowd?
No.
Just for the sinners and the ungodly, the blasphemers and God's enemies?
No,
no. Really, the devil is God's enemy, and there is a devil. This is not fantasy. If you believe the Bible, you got to believe all the Bible. And 2 Corinthians talks about that Satan is now the god of this world. Now, God didn't make him that. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted 40 days and nights? And the enemy tempted him with this. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil told him, he said, all this has been delivered or handed over to me, and I give it to whoever I want to. This is the devil talking. And he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And the scriptures reveals it was a temptation. Now see, a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. They're like, well, no, Jesus could never be tempted with that. That is the master's destiny, King of Kings, Lord of lords. Is that right? And all the kingdoms coming under him. And the enemy is saying, look, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to do all that. Here's a shortcut. Right? You can be King of Kings today. You can be Lord of Lords of all kingdoms today. And people say, well, it's not the devil's, it's God's. He couldn't do it. If he couldn't do it, don't you think the Spirit of God would have revealed it to Jesus?
Yes.
And he would have known? And it wouldn't have been a temptation. But the Scripture says it was a temptation, which means it's true. The kingdoms of this world are for the most part under the devil's control. 1 John 5 says that the whole world lies under the power and sway of darkness, under the evil one. Well, see, that's why that people being so adamant about, well, God's in control of everything down here. That's not what the Scripture says. It says the devil is. For a season, for a time, it's going to end. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God that has already begun is an eternal kingdom.
Amen.
That shall never end.
Amen.
All the kingdoms of this world are just here for a short time. But the wealth that is in the world, you know, when God created in the Genesis account, he told them right off about the gold and where the gold was, and that the gold was good. Who made gold? God made gold. And really, originally, all of our paper currency was based on gold. And the paper was just a promissory note that was backed up. Because after all, a piece of paper is a piece of paper. But it was backed up by actual gold and silver in the national treasuries. Well, way back in the 70s, they left that. And so now it's all ones and zeros, supposedly on somebody's server, which is, whew, sketchy. But thank God we know who our source is, right? He can take care of us. Even if all the ones and zeros went away, God will still be there.
Amen.
But what we're saying is the wealth that is in the hands of sinners, the wealth that is in the hands of unbelievers and the ungodly, they don't have it justly. They don't have it at the will of God. The enemy has it unlawfully. Now, what I mean by that is God created the earth and everything that's in it and gave it to man. He gave it to Adam and Eve and gave them dominion over it. If you read the accounts, not a word in there about the devil. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
He did not give it to the devil. He gave it to man. And even the psalmist says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Why is the earth in such a mess? Not because God is controlling everything. Now, I know people don't like that. That's abrasive to them because they've beat the pulpit so much. God's in control. God's in control. What do you mean by that? If you mean God has a master plan and that his master plan will be ultimately fulfilled, yes. If you mean everything that's happening on the earth is God's will, no way. No way. No. He is allowing the enemy to do this because man gave it to him. Isn't that what the devil said when he was tempting Jesus? It's been delivered to me. Well, who turned it over to him? Not God. Man. So the wealth that's in the hands of the ungodly is not God's original plan. The enemy wants all the wealth for himself and his things and all the power. Who do you think wants the church broke? Right? Come here with it. Who do you think wants all believers poverty stricken? wants all churches and ministries so broke they can't have a faith school and televise it. They can't get the word out. They don't even have enough money to have a place to meet in, much less to send the word all over the world. Tell me what the Great Commission is.
Go.
Go. Where? Everywhere.
Yes.
Into all the world.
Amen.
And preach to every created being.
Yes.
That's go everywhere. Amen. And preach to everybody. You can't do that on $2.
No.
You can't do that with $1,000. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Go everywhere and preach to everybody. And then he said, I'm building my church. I'm building my church. Who do you think wants the Christian to have nothing? Wants the pastors and the missionaries to have nothing? Wants the church to have nothing? Because, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about wisdom, it said that wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heard. Well, does God want his words heard?
Yes.
Or not?
Yes.
Well, then you need enough money to get out of town.
Yes.
Is that right? You need enough money to write a book and have it printed.
Yes.
You need enough money to buy some Bibles and send them somewhere.
Yes.
You need enough money to get on the radio, get on the TV, get on the internet. Come on, y'all with me. You need some resources to get out.
Yes.
It's the enemy that is stealing and hoarding and holding back. And friend, this is so important. Stop begging God for money. He's not the one holding it back. Come on, y'all with me? He never has been. He's not holding back money from you or your kids or your spouse or your family or your church. It's the evil one, the thief, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, which is why when Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom, it is so vital. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. So instead of begging and crying all the time, you need to start binding and loosing and claiming and laying hold and receiving. Bind up the enemy. It's not God to say. You say, Satan, take your hands off of my monies. I claim what I need to pay all these bills. Go, ministering spirit. See, you bound the enemy. You loosed the ministering spirit. Come on, can you see this? You'll see results. You start doing this, you will see results. What we see in this scripture, let me read it again. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The only way you can do that is to get it and have it. Huh? And have it and own it free and clear when you die. Right? So that it is left and it winds up in the hands of your children and grandchildren, two generations beyond you. Is this God's will?
Yes.
That's a little bit weak. I'm looking in the camera. Is the word of God the will of God?
Yes.
That's not a hard question. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, what you'll see, he's talking about generational wealth. I think this is something that folks haven't understood. There's different ideas about, I hear people talk about the end time wealth transfer. And sometimes some of the ideas I hear, I don't really see in the word exactly that way. Don't leave out the generational element of it, because that's what he's emphasizing here. Can you see this? The New Living Translation says it like this: good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. See, where do you see what he's saying? Godly people, righteous people, when they leave, their money is not lost somewhere else. it winds up in the hands of their descendants. Mm. But ungodly and sinners, no matter how much they accumulated, their wealth is not successfully passed to the next generation of them. But that wealth winds up somewhere else, and even in the hands of people, God's people, that'll do what He says with it. Can you see that? Generational wealth is what He's talking about. Listen to Psalm 112. You can go there if you would. Psalm 112. This is something you'll see repeatedly through the Word of God. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. Now, this is a definition of the good man or woman that He was talking about in Proverbs 13. What's a good person like? Well, they love God. And they love the things of God. They love the Word of God, the people of God. Verse 2, His seed, this is His children, and His children's children shall be what?
Mighty
upon the earth, the what?
Generation
of the upright shall be blessed. Now that's not true concerning the following generations of the sinner. That's not true because of the principle of sowing and reaping. If their grandparents and parents sowed bad stuff and their children don't repent, well, they're going to reap bad stuff. And this is one of the heartbreaking thing in the earth, that you'll see little ones, children suffer, innocents suffer for the sins of their parents and their grandparents. And it doesn't have to be that way. And it can be changed in the next generation. But God's will is that the blessing, His blessing working on His people in the earth succeed and increase and progress in the next generation.
Amen.
Not stay where it is, but increase.
Amen.
Oh, come on, can you see this? This is God's will. And this hasn't been fully experienced like it should be. Because a lot of folks don't even, I mean, a lot of people, this would be the first time they ever heard about it. Listening right now. And it's something we should have been hearing about our whole lives. It's something our parents and grandparents and their parents should have known. But it's through the generations things have been lost. Oh, but glory to God, it can be restored.
Amen.
I said it can be restored. He said, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And in case you weren't clear what He was talking about, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in His house. That means He's got a house.
Amen.
Huh? And in the house we got wealth and riches. Now this it really irritates the devil, so I'm going to read it again about three times. So come on, say it out loud. Wealth and riches,
wealth and riches
shall be in His house. Whose house? The man, the woman that fears the Lord and that delights in His commandments, that loves Him, His word, His people, His things. God's will is that you and your descendants. Now when we say descendants, you must include spiritual descendants. Because, you know, Paul said to some of the ones that were under him, he said, I've begotten you through the gospel.
Yes.
Well, they weren't his natural sons, but they were born again under his ministry and they came up under him. So the descendants, the spiritual offspring, the physical, which physical offspring should also be spiritual offspring. They should be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But God's will is for there to be increase in the next generation. Oh, this is really the will of God. This is really the plan of God, is that everything that the older generation got from God, they passed it on to their kids. Their faith, the spirit of faith, the revelation of knowing God, walking with God, overcoming all those things, and then the faith that they used in their life for material things, and they got their houses and their buildings and their lands, and they got savings and they got investments, and they passed on all their spiritual knowledge to their children, and they left them with a bunch of money too.
Hallelujah.
When they left. And so the next generation, their parents started off here, but the next generation starts off here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then throughout the course of their life, they do the same thing. They walk with God. They learn more about God than their parents did. They prosper and increase more than their parents did. And then when it's time for them to go, they leave it to their kids.
Amen.
Come on, can you see this?
Amen.
And their grandparents started here. They started here. Their kids start life here.
Amen.
Spiritually. Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't believe this, but I didn't write this. I'm reading the Bible.
Yes.
Wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Psalm 115 says it like this. Psalm 115, 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And the Lord shall what? Increase you, what?
More and more.
Where's the end of that? Is that they do good for a few years and then they take a dive for a few years? And no. Increase you more and then what?
More
and then what?
More.
And then your children. You and your children. You are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. And the Lord wants us to possess, and he wants us to reach many, and he wants us to grow in grace and in God and in every good thing. And then kick off, the Lord tarries is coming a little bit longer, kick off the next generation on a higher level. And then when they leave, they kick off the next one on a higher level.
Yes.
Somebody say, more and more.
More and more.
Say it out loud. The Lord increases us. More and more.
Us and our children.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Believe it. Meditate upon it. Say it over and over and live it. Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. There's a lot more to shout about.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.